This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Hello again, my friends, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. Have you ever wondered why this program is called Armor of God? Well, I think that when you watch the opening, you recognize that the scripture that is shown is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Turn over there with me and get the impetus for why we call this program what we call it. But I want to underscore it in a greater way today because of the times in which we live. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we begin in verse 10, and it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." First thing that you should recognize as we get into this passage, we're not talking about our strength. We're not talking about strength that comes from the armor of God, except as God Himself uses it. And Paul here, writing to the church in Ephesus, tells them to put on, in verse 11, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wait a minute. Now, somebody is just tuning into this program and you're saying to yourself, these people believe in a devil? Come on now, isn't that kind of passé? Isn't that kind of ancient history? Isn't that kind of a fable? Can it really be significant? Well, stay tuned, my friends, and you will get a sense from the scriptures themselves of how frequently the writers talk about the presence of this arch being, this arch demon, this powerful force behind the scenes of world activity. You can find his footprints all over the place, leading out of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were first created there, all the way down through the centuries of time. This being has had an impact and an influence within the world, and that is something you should be aware of. It goes on to say here in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, one, against powers, two, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, three, against spiritual wickedness in high places, four." That's four different arenas or mechanisms used by Satan the devil in this world. How powerful a being is he? You remember when Jesus Christ himself was in the wilderness, carried off into the wilderness after he was baptized. You can read about this in Matthew 4, for instance. And he's carried off there to be tempted of the devil. You have to realize that the devil is the god of this world. The Bible describes him that way, and I'll share a scripture to confirm that in a moment. And he offered all of these temptations to Jesus Christ himself. And he did it to cause Jesus to fail. He does not fail, but Satan attempted to do it. And do you realize that Satan tempts you and I on a regular basis? And there are places in the world where he has total control, is in absolute an authority within circumstances, and he uses four arenas to accomplish this. And I want to share that with you today. But first, let me tell you about what we're offering in today's program. The booklet is entitled, and it's a long title, but I hope that you will make note of it, What You Should Know About Demon Possession. What You Should Know About Demon Possession. That is the booklet. And then a sermon tape that I have especially prepared for you entitled Armed for Battle, which is the title of today's program. Armed for Battle. I want you to be equipped, as this program starts out by saying something quite interesting. In times like these, we need the armor of God. And that's why I introduced today's program by reading a portion of the passage that we use as the foundation for this program. You have to be armed for battle, for you are doing battle all of the time, and you do not have to fear Satan, the devil, or his demons, or his power, or his position in the world, before Christ, our Savior, has overcome the devil, and he empowers us to do the same. But first, as we continue in today's program, let's consider this. In the four areas where we can see Satan's hand or his footprints or his fingerprints, they are in the geopolitical circumstance of the world, in the economics of the world, in popular culture, that's easy, but also in the religious arena, he is present. Let's just take some thumbnail sketches of these particular areas to understand what I'm talking about today. Take geopolitics. Let's take a trip to Darfur in the Sudan, for instance. Now, you must ask yourself this question. The United States of America is involved in Afghanistan, certainly involved in Iraq, in a mighty way, with an army present to prevent the destruction of people there, we say. And yet more people have been killed in Darfur by the insurgents of a minority factor imposing their will. And by the way, these people all look alike. They look the same. They're basically from the same stock and country, some religious difference here and there. But these people are being destroyed, and you have to ask yourself, what's behind that? Not so much why the United States or other nations of the world have not engaged more actively in saving those people when we are out to save other people in other parts of the world. What's behind the mass genocide? What's behind that? Is that just something that is merely human nature at work? Is that just jealousy? Is that just envy? Is that just flexing one's powerful military muscle? Is that all that we can say it is? And you know, you can go into other parts of the world and see destruction at the hands of government. And you must ask yourself, who's behind that? Not the Trilateral Commission, and not some other secret organization that sometimes we like to suggest may be behind the power. But what is the power behind the throne? Remember what Christ was offered by Satan? If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you authority to reign over all of the kingdoms of the world. How could he make such an offer if he didn't have the power and authority to make the offer? You find something interesting in the book of Daniel on this point when you were dealing with geopolitics. If you just turn over there to the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, and I think you will find a fascinating presentation, something worth considering. This is when Daniel has prayed and God has sent him an answer through the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel tells him, well, I was delayed. Look at verse 13. This is Daniel, the 10th chapter. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. 21 days, this angel who has been sent by God to answer Daniel's prayer and his question says, I was delayed because I had to fight against the prince of Persia. That's an authority. Now, he's not talking about the physical prince of Persia, because an angel has more power to deal with a human being, but he had to deal with someone almost equal in power to him, and that was a fallen angel called a prince. Do you know that for every good angel that God commissions to send out on our behalf, and even in this book, it tells us in the book of Daniel that the nation of Israel or the children of the Jews also have an angel, Michael, who stands at the ready to assist them. There is an opposite opponent or an adversarial angel and demons involved in that activity. Now, that's not popular to say today because we We talk about democracies electing this person and electing that person, and through the activities of the world, we think that we are in our own sphere of influence and our own power. But behind it, there is a spirit world, and behind that which we cannot see are these spirit beings exerting force and influence. This goes on to say in Daniel 10 and verse 13, "Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Look at verse 20. "Then said he, Know you wherein I come unto you? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Do you recognize, my friends, what is significant in this passage? Do you understand that in the ancient world, these world-ruling empires, from the Babylonian Empire, now into the Persian Empire, this is when Daniel is writing, and he is told that after I deal with the power of Persia, then is going to come the prince, the authority, the power behind the throne of Greece. If there's a power behind Babylon, if there's a power behind Persia, these are those world-ruling empires, and a power behind Greece, could there not be a power behind the Roman Empire for 1,000 years? And was that not in place when Jesus Christ walked the earth? My friends, you must be aware that in the arenas of geopolitics, Satan is active. What about economics? Startling headline in the city of Detroit, where I live, that General Motors and Ford Motor Company's stock had been devalued to the junk bond status. Are you kidding me? I remember in my mind's eye, having lived in the city of Detroit, how significant General Motors is. That's where their world headquarters is, and in the neighboring Dearborn is where Ford Motor Company is, and out in the northern suburbs is also where Daimler Chrysler is. These are significant factors and forces in the economic situation of the world. I remember when General Motors, if it could have been ranked a nation, would have been the sixth largest nation economically in the world. And they're having trouble financially to the tune of $1 billion lost in the last quarter as I tape this program. What is going on? What's behind the devaluing of these economic giants in the world? And do you know the impact of their fall and how it will impact the lives of the common everyday person who has to make a house note and a car note and pay for the dentures and the braces for their children and private school and piano lessons and soccer leagues and all of that kind of thing? What will happen if the economy of the world collapses, and who will be behind it? I suggest to you that you must consider Satan the devil. That's an arena to which you must be attuned as you go through your everyday life. And you must arm yourself with the armor of God to stand against that power as it expresses itself in the world. Popular culture. This is the third arena for which we should be concerned. And now, this one is easy. This is a piece of cake. When we look at television and movies, video games, and music videos, what's being displayed to our minds, not merely just our young people, but impacting each of us as grown-ups and adults today? We are impacted by attitudes and approaches. Buy now, fly now, and pay later. That's one. That's a good one. If buy it now, just max out your credit cards. You know, if file bankruptcy, that's good. That has an impact on the economy. If you're part of a union circumstance, too, back to the economic issue for just a moment, harden yourself against what the companies are saying. They got the money, make them pay. Then you move back into the popular culture circumstance, and you have big names, luminaries in the panoply of stars of Hollywood and beyond, who impact our lives, who influence us. We want to wear what they wear. We want to drive what they drive. We want to have the bling bling that they so easily display. And we will do whatever it takes. Do you know why the drug culture, which is part of the popular culture, is so emphatic and so prescient upon us today? Well, it's simple. We want to have what we see on television, what we see in movies. And if we have to steal and rob and destroy and even kill to acquire it, we will do it. You remember when your child put on that tantrum in the store because you wanted to buy a cheaper brand of tennis shoe? They don't call them tennis shoes anymore, but you know, the sneakers or gym shoes, whatever they're called today, the sports shoe. And you wanted to buy something that didn't cost $150 because they're going to outgrow it in a couple of months anyhow. And you wanted to get that lesser value and they just fell out in the store. From where is that coming? Where is that attitude that emerges to show us that people are inclined to want what they want when they want it and doesn't matter what it costs? Who's behind it? Who's influencing that? The fourth arena is in the area of religion. This is harder to discern because we sometimes think that religion must be from God. After all, they're talking about God and they're talking about Jesus, so it must be from God, right? Well, take a look and follow me to 2 Corinthians for a very interesting passage. 2 Corinthians, let's go first to the 10th chapter. No, the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. That's where I want to go. And find something very interesting here. In verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," that is, his servants, he has servants, people who work for him, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." You need to be careful who you're listening to. That's why we say on this program, don't believe us. Read the Bible for yourself and prove it with your own eyes what we say is true. Not on the strength of our personalities, not on the strength of your attraction to us in some kind of way. No, on the basis of what the scriptures say. Prove what we are saying. "Be transformed, these ministers, be transformed as ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works." This is a powerful passage. One of the things we should know in discerning this passage, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 4, another startling reflection here, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not," Paul says, "but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." That's in the religious arena. There are people who handle the word craftily to deceive, to propound a doctrine that is not biblical and not leading to eternal life, but leading away from it. Satan will use religion, Christianity, and other religions of the world to deceive you. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says that Satan the devil, that old demon, that old dragon, who deceives the whole world. So when you begin to puzzle about why things are happening in the world on the political level, why things are happening in the arena of economics, in popular culture, and religion, the answer is simple. And it's why we urge you to put on the whole armor of God. It goes on to say here, "But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, but if our gospel is hid," or being hid, "it is hid to those who are lost," the King James says, but it's the present progressive tense in the Greek that means who are being lost. Friends, are you being lost? Are you being enticed and induced into accepting the satanic influence in this world, even to the possibility of possession? Now, if you have the Spirit of God within you, you can't not be possessed by the spirit of the devil. You can be influenced. And that was the attempt by Satan with our Savior Jesus Christ to influence him, to cause him, as the Bible says, to miss the mark, just slightly miss it. And then Satan has us captive. It goes on in verse 4 to say this, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You hear that? Do you grasp that? We don't want you blinded. We don't want you walking in darkness. We want you to come into the marvelous light of the gospel and understand it and be able to recognize the wiles of the devil. Another place in the Bible it says, we are not ignorant of his devices. The Bible describes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 and 8, that Satan is the prince of the world. Friends, he is ensconced in place, but he is going to be dethroned. And now, in our lives, as we respond to the gospel and the good news, as we respond to Jesus Christ coming into our lives, we are empowered by his presence in us, by his spirit in us, to conquer Satan the devil. You don't have to fear him. You don't have to walk around, you know, quivering, looking over your shoulder and wondering when the next shoe is going to fall and whether or not he's going to cause you to be hurt and harmed. Oh, he's going to attack. He's going to suggest things. He's going to come in guises and ways to tempt you. And he will use all of the arenas that I've expressed: geopolitics, economics, popular culture, religion, to name a few. Those areas he operates within with acuity, with prominence, and with power. Friends, let's turn back now to Ephesians and understand what it means to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12 in Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when you think you are fighting against your coworker or fighting against your husband or your wife or your children, that's not where the fight is. It's not with flesh and blood, but it's in attitudes and approaches that deal with Satan's influence and his desire to cause us to fall. Actually, his intention is to totally destroy us. But when we are equipped with the whole armor of God, every aspect of it, we can be victorious. It goes on to say, we fight against principalities. That's the word prince is in there. So when I read to you in the book of Daniel about the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia, it's because there are princes in place among the demon world over these particular nations. There's a prince over the United States and Canada and Britain and other places in the world. We readily think of these princes being in place in far distant places in the Middle East, perhaps, or in the Far East, and those kinds of things. But we don't often think that there may be one present with us. Not only are there principalities with which we must fight, against powers. You know, the satanic powers are present all around us. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There are people who walk in darkness. But thanks be to God, John, the first chapter says, they who walk in darkness have seen a great light, and that light was Jesus Christ. Or what about the spiritual wickedness in high places? There are powers behind world-ruling leaders that you must recognize. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you take on the whole armor that you may be able to stand in the day that is evil, and having done all, so to stand. You stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth. That's what we try to bring you on this program. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that is decision making that does the right thing. What about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Do you carry peace wherever you go? The good news of peace? Is there an attitude in you of peace? And taking unto you the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts that Satan throws your way. You must have that armor. And take on the helmet of salvation that protects your thinking apparatus. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Learn how to use this word. But all of that is activated by this mechanism of prayer. Combined with all of the six elements and prayer, the seven elements together, you will be equipped to deal against the satanic influence in this world. Friends, make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or stop by our website at www.cgi.org. Today you can receive these two free items: What You Should Know About Demon Possession and Armed for Battle, a sermon that I've prepared for you especially. I know that this has been startling for some of you, but you've got to put on the whole armor and stand in these evil days. I'll see you again on the Armor of God.
You know, Bronson's correct. He's absolutely right. There is a real devil. That's right, my friends. This demon, this being, and he does exist as a being, he's just not a thought in somebody's mind, was at one time a covering cherub. That's right, residing right at the very throne of God. As a matter of fact, prior to his name being changed to Satan, which by the way means adversary, his name was called Lucifer, which meant morning star, light bringer. He was very, very well known among the angelic realm. He is not, my friends, to be underestimated. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter over here in his first epistle mentions something that I think it would do us all well to consider very seriously. Notice here, Peter says, be sober. And then not only that, but adds, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Bronson was talking about the armor of God there in Ephesians. It goes without saying that we need to gird ourselves with a lot of those characteristics, and rightly so, because as Peter points out here, my friends, Satan the devil is a stalker, and he will use the venues that Bronson had mentioned. He will use geopolitics. Without question, he'll use entertainment, sex, and business. He'll use advertising, and yes, without question, you know it as well as I do, and Bronson emphasized it for all of us today. He will use religion to try to confuse you, misdirect you, detour you, but do anything he can to influence you to drift away from the true and living God. There's more to what meets the eye in today's day and age, my friends. So you need, my friends, you need to realize that there is a real being living in an unseen matrix, and you need to guard against him. Let us help you. Right now, call 888-578-8791. Ask for the free offers that we're giving you today. What you should know about demon possession, a booklet that you could easily read in one sitting, along with a one-hour presentation by Mr. Bronson James himself, titled Armed for Battle. Go ahead now again, as I mentioned, dial 888-578-8791. Friends, this is Bill Watson, reminding all of you, as we often do here on this program, to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Armor of God deals with the solutions to our broken world. New perspectives presented for your consideration by our commentators in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.